All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cup Suite. We are here with the podcast called Off the Cup, and I am joined graciously by the GNN staff and a former GNN staffer, Tyler Graves. We also have Robbie Lott, Stan Painter, and Richard Turner. Now, this podcast that we'll kind of start in this spring, we're going to talk about some things William Blount Athletics related. And I was thinking to myself, okay, how are we going to do this first one? What do we want to talk about? Because we're kind of in the middle of the season, actually toward the end of the season in basketball. And so I thought, you know what, let's go back to something that's, I think, near and dear to me, and that's going to be GNN and its roots. And those of you that follow William Blount High School sports, you know all about GNN, as they do a fantastic job doing our streaming, and I would argue they are the best in the state. So without further delay, I want to welcome, first of all, Richard Turner. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
And Rob Lotz.
Thank you, Scott, for having me.
Mr. Tyler Graves.
Great to be here. Used to be a part of GNN, but now I'm doing some other things around the campus.
He went off and upgraded to some sort of something with the football team, and then he helps me every day.
Yeah.
Is that an upgrade?
Upgrade.
Yeah, big upgrade. G. Stan Painter.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
So, I want to talk a little bit about how all this got started. And Stan was here teaching before I got here. What year did you come here, 95 or so?
No, 91.
Well, you should have done to be retired, sir. You're way. My wife asked me last night, when's Stan eligible to retire? I said, I think he's eligible. He just hasn't chose to. If you don't know, Stan's the principal at Friendsville Elementary School. So 91, that's
spring
really.
Spring of 91, yeah.
Wow. So I came in 99, and I was with Stan doing the old BCS TV replays with Holden Lale, the professor.
Tape delay, yeah, on Friday night. So, yeah, that's how we started out back over really 30 years, almost 30 years ago now, going
ridiculous.
On that.
That's
so.
Ridiculous. Well, 25.
Yeah, 25.
25, 26. And so we did that for a year or two, and then I got this, I quit coaching finally. That was just basically doing football only.
Yeah, football only.
And I quit coaching. My wife told me to quit. I had my third kid, YBC, and she said, that's it for coaching for you. So I said, well, I got to stay involved. So I remember calling Tony Basilio out of the blue one day. I said, Tony, how do you put a sports team on the air? He said, you give me $10,000, you can have them on the air. I'm like, what? Okay. So I started making phone calls, and sure enough, I got $10,000. And so we started doing some William Blount radio, because I think the year before that, Robbie and Stan and myself had done some tape delay with Marty Millsaps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The late Todd Peterson.
Peterson, yep. KZ93.5.
Yep. And that was also tape delay. And so we were doing that. And then I called Basilio, and he said, sure, go ahead. So we sold the spots. We started doing the ball games.
Fall of 2004.
That was it. And Rob was on the stats initially, and Stan and I were doing the play-by-play in color, and that's kind of how it got going from that standpoint. The funny part of that story is that winter I said, I want to do basketball. And they said, okay, if you give me $10,000, we'll get it for you. I'm like, okay, it's a lot harder to get $10,000 in basketball. I called them like a week before. I was like, I've only got like $2,500. They said, that's fine. I'm like, wait a minute. What happened to that money the first time in football? So I learned a lesson in radio about that. So we kind of got things going and did a lot of ball games for, heck, I don't know. How many years was it before Richard came along?
15, maybe.
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess so. And we did it. We first was all, you were on AM 850.
850 Horn.
Yep, Doug, Horn.
Horn radio. And then we did some 1400.
Yeah, went to 1400 for a while.
For a little bit.
Then we did Maryville.
Yeah.
What about this? There was a time in 2000, I want to think 12 and 13 or in that area, we actually, the Horn Network said, we're done. We've been bought out, and you have to do Maryville. I'm like, well, this is weird. I'm an assistant principal at William Blount. But we did Maryville for, I think, at least two years. Did a state championship game. That was bizarre, and I had to apologize to David Gregory. I said, I'm sorry that I'm an assistant principal doing radio for Maryville. So that was a low point. Not necessarily for Maryville's sake. I don't have anything against Maryville, but you shouldn't be doing Maryville football.
It just didn't feel right.
It was
different, you know, and it was like more of a job and things like that. But because we're totally, everybody sitting at this table is totally vested, William Blount, you know, and so, but those 2 years, it was nice. But then, of course, the games were hard to do because they were like blowouts, and it was like, you know, 42
way
to nothing.
Way more entertaining to do William Blount.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like you say, I would always tell people it's just a job, but the bottom line was it was straight up adultery.
Yeah.
There's no other way to look at it. We were committing every sin you could commit as far as a school adultery, of course, because it was, like I said, never felt right at all. But the funniest thing I remember about that before we move on and get closer to GNN's time was getting to do Maryville girls basketball with Scott West. Yeah. Now, I'll never forget the night when Coach Quarles gave him the gag order after he beat somebody and was, hey, you got Farragut next week? I hate Farragut. That's what he said right on the air. And he would always come up with something at the end of the games. And so getting to do Scott West post game was well worth it. But anyway, he didn't get to do any more after that night.
Well, that's Randall Davis's job now.
Yeah, that's right. So Scott was never afraid to say certain things. We did that for 2 years. We got back on track, though, after that, and we hooked up with 1470 and Mr. Grothjohn. And a little after that, we started doing streaming. And it was a struggle, and Harry will be the first to tell you because he was just starting it out and trying, and no one was really doing a very good job streaming. I can still remember sticking those cartridges in the side of the computer and hoping you'd get the internet signal. And it was so much stress. It was so much stress.
What about the paperclip?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the paperclip.
That was with Jeff Reidner. Jeff Reidner is our cameraman.
On the paperclip.
Oh, my gosh. I was trying to keep the computer cool.
You had to get the fan to go with the paperclip.
I remember going to games.
I can relate to that, honestly, though.
We've
done our own fair share of stuff.
Chandler Cup was playing basketball during this time, and I was trying to watch as a parent. And I would get so frustrated because I couldn't watch the game or anything because I was too busy trying to restart the computer. It was a joke as far as the way it ended up working. But at least it started, and Harry would come over and help when he could. It was just hard because it's early on. And so that kind of led up to the last few years of that, and really me in general, because I quit before Richard came on. I became the athletic director, I think maybe 2016-ish. And so I did one more year. And because Todd Wright was here and he did all the football AD. But once again, it didn't feel right because I was up there in the booth making money on the side while I was probably should have been doing the AD work. So I said, I can't do this anymore. It's like double dipping. So I got out of that and handed that over to Robbie to do the play by play. Then you guys at that point did one more year, I think, with Harry.
With Harry only, yeah.
And it's about that time, Richard, when you showed up. So tell me about that and how you showed up.
Well, at that point, my son Eli was playing for William Blount Middle School, and I was starting to get involved in the Gov Club. You know, it's kind of the middle
Parker.
School version of that. Yeah. And with Mitch Parker, we had Mark Derman. She's going to kill me. Wendy.
Swanner.
Swanner. Wendy Swanner. Yeah. So, we're doing middle school stuff, and the moment it hit me like something needs to change was I remember I'm not originally from here, so I didn't know a lot of you guys at all, but I remember trying to watch the William Blount Dobbins Bennett game, and it was just the whole buffering and
freeze fest. Yeah.
Yes, and it's not really anybody's fault, but because you just didn't know how to do it right, and we just started talking, like, we've got to figure out a way to make this better. Like, there's got to be a way to make this better. And, you know, I work in technology at my real job. I don't really do this, but, you know, I've kind of got a sense of how to figure out things, if that makes sense. And so we kind of put our heads together and said, what can we do to make this better? And so we just gave it a shot. That next year, Eli's coming up as a freshman, and we're like, we'll just give it a shot and see what happens.
And the first year, unfortunately, you had to use Tyler.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we just scraped the bottom of the barrel and find out who could we find.
How'd you get this job, Tyler, in year one?
I was thinking about this today. So the whole reason that I even got involved was my mom came to me one day, and I guess she saw something on Facebook, and she was like,
yeah, that's right.
Hey, Eli's dad's looking for help to start this new broadcasting thing at William Blount.
So it was,
yeah, and I was like, well, what's this about? So sure enough, I came here one day, and it was like you and Mitch Parker and I think a couple other people, and they were like, we're just going to start this Gov Club TV thing. Didn't really know what we were doing at first, but I remember
we
first...
Scraped,
Yeah.
The first stream we started, we were playing on North City here. The first stream, you started at like 2 p.m. So it was like a 5-hour pregame, but we just kind of went with it.
We didn't know what, all that was just to make sure it was working.
Yeah.
And so, like, honestly, the people involved at the, you know, the Mitches and Wendy and Mark, you know, we pulled together enough money to buy a laptop, a high powered laptop. That's where we started. Yeah. And we were able to do that. And that was our starting point, is just having a really awesome, beefy computer that we could take on the road with us and whatnot. And got a couple of cheap cameras, but we were able to figure out how to make the stream better. Just I won't get into all the technical details of it.
That's good. Yeah.
But it was we looked it up and figured it out and were able to do things that we weren't doing earlier. And so it made the stream overall a little bit better, more consistent. And next thing you know,
you fired Tyler, which also helped, and then the next year you picked up these two professionals.
Yeah, what's funny is I guess we met the first time was probably at Ooltewa, Tyler.
Where was it at, Tyler?
Ooltewa.
Oh, he's learned.
Okay.
I think that's when I met y'all. We're in that little. We're just trying to figure out, all right, where's everybody going to sit? And from there, I think, I don't know which one of you guys reached out or whatnot, but we just started talking, and we're like, I think we can make this work. By basketball season, we're doing it.
Yep. You brought us along, me and Stan. We've been with Harry, you know, we were with Harry right then. And Harry's been good with us. You know, he worked right away and said, because we showed him that, you know, hey, this Richard Turner knows what he's doing. We want to get him involved with the stream. And now everything's all combined.
Yeah, Harry knows radio.
Right. No, he's a radio guy.
Yeah.
And so he was
Richard knows stream, so we put it together.
Yeah, it's been a great product, and it's so frequent when people talk about your all stream, and it's so watched by so many people, and that's a testament to the quality that you have there. I've watched a few. I don't watch it often. I'll come back and watch my office, to watch certain plays or whatnot and listen to make sure nobody said anything they shouldn't have, which that's another segment a little bit later on here about bad times at Ridgemont High.
That never happens.
No, but anyway, so you went from that starting off and to – so what are you in now, about year eight or nine?
I guess we started in 18, right?
Started in 18, so this is –
I can't count that.
Seven.
Seven. Well, now the upstairs, like the press box, for example, is a full ESPN studio. I always show it off to people. I'm like, look, this is where our streaming goes. And I think about how we had that one computer, and that was it, and a camera that would stick on the scoreboard the whole time. That was all there was to it. So you've upgraded. You continue to upgrade a little bit at a time.
Yeah. So how that worked is, I mean, you guys, if you're watching it, you see banners and stuff that we kind of came up with the process. And I say, everybody at this table kind of like, how can we make this work? And so what we would do is we would sell these banners and spots and stuff, and we would put the money back into the program. And so, we'd pay for gas and stuff like that, for expenses like that, but over time, we just have bought better cameras, better things, and it's just kind of a self-propelling thing at this point. And so,
no one's sitting here that's on GNN is getting rich.
No, it's our sponsors that have got it going. You know, because like I say, Stan and I, and Richard, we just say, hey, let's put all this money back into it the first couple of years, and now you see what we got.
It's been awesome.
We've actually got so much now that we actually
keep on.
The links over here.
I saw y'all up in the crow's nest the other night looking for something else to do.
We're at a point now that we can do so much more if we just had the manpower. Like if we had some people to do some other things, we could step it up even further. It's kind of crazy.
What are you trying to do up there in the crow's nest or behind the wall with the scoreboard? Are you trying to cut out a wall and do something? I didn't know what that was about.
I want to create our own studio. I think that's what we're trying to figure out, because you can do stuff all across the campus if you could make it work. So it's
so on Friday nights, could you be in there and we'd be at the stadium?
Yep. Y'all could be up at the stadium. You could have a camera running at the softball field, one run at the baseball field, one at the volleyball field, something in the theater, and you could all control it all from one place. this podcast could even go from there.
So I got
it's crazy stuff what you could
do. Well, I was thinking about that too. I mean, 10 years from now, when this podcast is like incredibly popular,
yeah,
people exactly. are going to say, where did it all start? I'm like, well, it started in my little office right there back before I got fired at William Blunt. But let me ask you this. Any chance you could change that intro song? Because somebody complained about that the other day. They said, we've heard that same intro song for 5 years.
We did change it.
I don't know.
No, I think there is a new one, right? And everybody's kind of happy about the new one, right?
I'm sorry. I can't can't remember who it was, but it was the Ballad of William Blunt.
Yeah, there was
which is funny if you listen to it.
The old one was called Sunset Strut, and me and Carter were big fans of
Sunset Strut. They've threatened to play that at my funeral in the future, like, or maybe Eli's wedding or something. I don't know.
So, what have you learned about through this process a little bit? Maybe not just in that particular realm of streaming, but about school itself and high school sports, because I've learned a lot in 8 years.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You have been a big help.
By saying yes.
Yes. That's really what it is.
I do that at home, too. I say yes.
And I know you're not fishing for that, but that's been a big part, having an athletic director that understands what we're trying to accomplish. You know, it's stuff, you know, a lot of schools, and I get it, they charge the people for it. You were right on, you jumped on board with us, was like, you know, William Blunt is, at that point in time, you know, we just want to be seen. We want to get people involved and hear and see the games that aren't coming. And I would argue that I would say that we've probably got we've helped create a fan base through that. And so that's one of the things I probably learned more than anything is having an athletic director that understands that and sees the vision that a lot of things come down to money, right? I would argue that there's probably more people coming through the gates because of some of the stuff that we've done, even the controversial stuff.
We're not there yet. We're saving that toward the end so we can cut it off real quick.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
One of the things, you know, of course, that I like, that I've always felt like this, is to promote the student athletes that go to school here and the coaches and their programs. And, you know, it is very satisfying to come up after a game and, you know, you have all these people come up to you and they say, hey, we've got family listening or watching in California, or we've got family in Nashville.
Overseas,
yeah. You know, and so forth. So being part of being able to deliver that to them is just satisfying to me, you know, and being able so they can, you know, to watch maybe their nephews or grandkids or whatever being able to play.
And I'd add this to it. We've also had people say, hey, can you give me a video of this game or this kid had an excellent game because they want to send it to a coach.
Yeah.
And I know we have Huddle and all that stuff, but sometimes Huddle doesn't get the great
get the Brad Porch shots.
Yes.
It's hard to get camera work like Brad Porch.
That's right.
I told him I'd give him a shout out. So yeah, that's his one and only. Oh, he'll get another one in a minute.
Yeah.
Well, I mean Brad is really good cameraman.
He's really good at it.
Now sometimes he needs to keep his mouth shut but and just focus on
and
the game.
And he's done better.
Yeah, he has. But he has
done better.
I don't think we had any incidents this year.
We keep wanting to do that.
Year's not over.
Knock on wood.
Well, and then of course it's so much more difficult than what you guys do to take your show on the road. And which obviously you don't do many road games in basketball because of the amount of work it takes to do that. But when you don't do games, you hear from other people. That makes you know you're appreciated because, like, wow, right. we don't get to watch. And you know,
now Jeff Bird's been helping.
He does. Jeff does his best out there.
I claim him as part of GNN.
Really?
Yeah.
he gets paid big too. Then, huh?
Yeah, he just likes getting in the press box. He'll tell you that.
Yeah, he's
he made his way to down in Alabama. Where did Johnson go?
Oh, I saw that.
He made it into the press box there this weekend where Brooks was pitching.
So
Jeff has just come along, and when we can't make the road games, he's been able to do the Gov fans in the stands. And we tried to run it on the website, but it just didn't.
Yeah, we're not giving up on that yet.
Okay.
So it's just.
Especially for some road baseball.
Honestly, if we can do the studio thing, it all works.
Really?
So
now
there's what it is.
There's other people that listen to this quite a bit, and that's the officials, because they'll come in my office. They'll be in here some in a minute. I'm sure we started
this.
The JV refs come here about 30 minutes, but the varsity officials show up about 5:15, and the first thing they typically ask is, "Rob Lott's here tonight doing the game? I know I got to be on my best behavior. He'll be calling me out." So
Those officials love watching you critique, Rob.
Yeah, well, I hold them to a high standard because I know we have the best around.
Yeah, they're better than most.
I've been around the state long enough to know that we have the best officials around, so I just hold them to a higher standard.
Well, that's a good answer.
And that's where I critique them so much.
And you do that, but you're not the only one. When Tyler and I were doing it, we probably went too far, too. Nobody remembers those days. And we probably won't talk about it.
Oh, they're archived.
Yeah, they're probably archived.
Yeah, I mean, go and watch the 2018 Jeff County game where we're literally sitting in the student section in the stands calling
I'm
the
pretty sure there was some ref pulling Skittles out of his – trying to get Skittles out of his pocket. And somehow he's throwing flags or something.
Well, Stan's the only professional one left. Okay? He keeps everybody in line.
I learned to get off the air.
I had problems. I mean, I did this not with you all, but I did the actual radio for, 13 years. It's hard not to get emotional, especially in a heated game and when the ball's not spotted right in football and things like that, or I miss something because it's hard to officiate in general. Or in basketball, they miss who it's out of bounds on. You guys got a lot clearer view than a lot of times people down there on the floor have. They get blocked.
Yeah, we've said that for years. Scott and I have talked about they ought to have a referee up top. Almost like, I guess, kind of like the NFL replay assist, where they can just buzz down and say, nope, it was off blue or whatever, but,
that ball's on the 35, not the 32. You're 3 yards short on the spot.
I mean, it's a hard job to officiate, and I appreciate the officials around here because, without them, we can't have high school sports. And we're passionate, and we get emotional sometimes, and sometimes that does come out. And, I mean, I've had – Robbie knows this. Is I had an official – we won't mention the name, but Robbie made a joke about him last basketball season about keeping his shirts tucked in. He's more worried about that. So I got a phone call from that official the next day, and he did say, and I said, well, we weren't really upset. We were just kind of laughing because, I heard you chuckle. they're graded. That's the way they're graded, and that's one of the things that they look at. And they used to have guys go around and grade the officials. They watch our stream, and that's how guys get to go to the state tournaments. But they watch the GovNation Network instead of having people come here and actually do grading.
I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, he told me that.
Well, they asked me. Gene called me not long ago wanting a clip of some official. He didn't say who it was. I already knew because I knew the other two. They ain't going nowhere. But there was one that I thought would have a chance, and so I said, here's the link. Just go click on this link and watch the ball game on GNN because we're not getting into cutting clips of huddle and all that. Now, Gene, I've seen him some clips before of other things. So I know how to send videos. And
Gene Manise.
Sorry. Yeah.
One of the head guys at TV.
We almost had a clip the other night that we could send somewhere.
No, we don't want to. That didn't happen. No one knows about that. So let's go back to one really rough night that you all did a great job, and that was at Kingsport. A couple years ago in basketball, because that was looking back at my time here in whatever since 1999, whether it be coaching, whether it be doing ball games, AD work, that was it. That's the pinnacle of heartbreak, and it was tough. And I watched y'all's call, and I could still hear you always said, "No, there's no time left. There's no time." But that was tough. I know for y'all to keep that one in because there was nothing that stung more than the Poochie's deal that night.
Yeah, it was rough, and that was probably one of my favorite senior classes, that came through here, sticking together as young kids and then have it coming together like that at the end was just too emotional. As if you can hear the broadcast, I had to cut it off quite quick that night because I had lost it, Stan.
Well, yeah, Robbie, we went off after the end of the game, and it was that's the toughest game that I've ever done. I mean, like you, Scott, I mean, coaching, whatever, that was the toughest night that we had. But we came back on to do the post game and Robbie couldn't do it. He was over here bawling. I mean, and just like very emotional. And so I came on and did the stats with Stan real quick and, goodbye. But I mean, I was it was tough, pull it together. And of course we were wanting to get out of there. And it was just, it was a tough night. It was a tough night. So that's gotta be, the worst.
Yeah. And talking about that team and Scott, you remember that night, the team, when everything went bad, what did they do at the end of the night?
We cleaned up the mess on their bench and the Dobbins-Bennett bench.
Right, after the bad stuff that was going on from the fans and everything, but that just tells you what type of program Kevin leads.
Yep. And so that their AD come to me, Frankie, and he said, I just watched your team clean our bench up after that. I said, well, they're nice kids, and Wendell, I think they're just a little bit of shock right now, don't know what to do, but I'm glad they did that, and it went well as the DB fans were coming by and flipping our students off and acting a fool. But regardless, that was a tough one, and we always ride, Stan and Robbie and myself ride together on road trips, and there wasn't a lot said for a while on that trip back down the road, because it was hard to take, because it just stung so much when you thought you had the game won, and then you didn't. So I couldn't go with this time without mentioning that particular
one. What would
one.
Be the second, though? Would it be Ottawa in 2006?
That's when they drove like 90 yards and 10 or 11 flags.
Yeah, that one would probably be another time that I remember being something stolen.
Well,
I struggled.
This one, people would say it was stolen. But the Maryville point after that was waved off, once again, I'm not here to say one way or the other, because it was going to tie the game, not win the game. People like to say
still
that.
Still a minute to go.
There's still a minute to go. We got Coach Quarles on the other side, so there's no guarantees. But that stung. I remember that night stung a lot, too, calling that game, because I remember my call exactly. Kick is up, looks good, looks real good, no good. That was my call exactly, because I heard it. I'm like, well, so anyway, that was another stinger when you think back to the whole broadcasting days. So, you know, last year was tough too down here, losing because you kind of knew that was the run of incredible talent was over for a while. We have everyone else. Oh, well, y'all have cycles. We do that. We have cycles, but unfortunately, our really good cycles are like
20 years apart.
Exactly.
And it was 85, 2002, and now 2022, 2024.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you cycle. You know, this year's a big time rebuilding. We're talking about guys basketball, big time rebuilding, and it's hard to go from what we've been the last 3 years. Hard for everybody, hard for the players, coaches, parents. So, but you guys are doing the best you can to keep it entertained. We're going to as we kind of wrap things up here on this first episode. I definitely want to get into some of the G&M flops, though. I had to. The G&M flops that have caused the athletic director problems. Oh. All right? And nothing was bigger than Carter Bales and the ferry. I watched that the other day again when all that went on that 2 years ago, which absolutely still – you're talking about stinging. It don't sting to us that much, but John Higgins and Farragut, they're still stinging from that deal.
If you think back to that Farragut team, they beat Beard in every game that year by maybe double digits before that region championship game. Bearden is a state runner-up that year to Dobbins Bennett. So think about where Farragut probably would have been a state champion team that year.
Yeah, and everybody thinks about Farragut being good and all. Well, they are good, but they're never that good. They're never like in the state tournament, boys basketball. That was their team.
Yeah.
So that was as big
just
of a
like
stinger.
The next year was our team.
Yeah, right. That was the biggest stinger as it was to us at Dobbins Bennett, what all took place that night. And then in the meantime, we got Carter up there screaming out, "He deserved it! He deserved it!" And I can say that because Carter's at the beach right now, so he's not here to defend himself.
Go to your car.
Yeah, go to your car. Yeah. But I keep thinking, oh boy. And that's what was playing on Channel 8 News.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that.
It was on Eric Ainge.
I was in shock. I could have muted him quicker, but I was in shock that I couldn't hit the mute button quicker.
The funny thing is all the stuff was that you saw like on the news or whatnot was. Or people are saying some adult, this is adult grown man.
Yeah, everybody thought it was Robbie or Stan.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't realize he was a senior in high school. And Cole was one of his good friends who's in the middle of all of this, and he just became a student at that point. That's all it was. And you know, that's a lesson learned too from all of us, right?
I got a couple on Brad, and since he's not here to defend himself either, because we talk about how good Brad is on the camera, but he was on thin ice for a while with G&M because my principal, Rob Clark, who's now retired, but he came to me and says, "Who is that guy on the camera that's causing all these problems?" I said, "It's Brad Porch. Don't let me worry about him." But Brad, it all started at the Sequoia game up here. He didn't like the fact that the Sequoia boys basketball team was warming up at halftime of the girls' game when there's a back gym. And he hadn't seen that because a lot of schools, you do that.
Yeah.
They don't have a back gym. So he starts yelling down there at them when they're shooting, when they come out of the tunnel. And so for whatever reason, then we beat them to a pulp. And then after the game, he starts yapping again, and him and the coach, Andy Pennington, going back and forth at each other. And Andy, I'll never forget, he said, "You're just a cameraman. That's all you'll ever be. Don't you forget it."
And what's funny, none of us knew it was happening.
Yeah, it was across the court.
We're across the court. Like, I'm in one side, you're on the other side. And then I think at the very end, I see some pointing going on from up top, and they're pointing back, and I'm going.
We have a camera right outside my office right here.
What just happened?
So I can hear that. We don't usually get to hear volume on cameras. The only camera in the school, I shouldn't say this, I won't. But this camera right here has volume, and so you can hear anything that goes on out there. So I could hear Andy yelling at Brad the whole time. It was classic. And then, of course, the Saudi Daisy Brad Porch. What was going on up there in the press box that night? I heard him on the PA.
Yeah, he came across. Him and the PA were just having some words back and forth, and there were some cheap shots. If you remember, he zoomed in on the Cortez being punched in a low bowl after, you know, he just kept getting hit hard. And he said, yeah, you just that's where the Dirty Daisy comment came in. And, you know, Brad and the PA guy just had a few words there back and forth, and we weren't welcomed back. You don't see.
Yeah, he questioned about starting the clock, which the PI guy wasn't running the clock.
Right. Yeah, that's where he questioned
that, and then I guess where it escalated, I guess Brad turned to throw something away, and it missed the trash can. The guy thought he just threw something in the floor. Oh, yeah. And
I thought he ripped Carter claims that he like said he ripped a piece of paper up and said, "This is what I think about 30 days.
Oh, yes, he did that. Yeah, he said, "This is what I think of your team."
Well, I'm on the sidelines, and all of a sudden, the guy's pushing the button down so you can hear what everything is going on. He goes, "How much football have you watched?" And then I hear Brad yelling back at him. I'm like, "They're getting into it up there in the press box." I wouldn't have known what was going on.
Oh, gosh.
But after that, Brad's really tamed himself down, and now he's able to keep this job that pays so well.
Yeah, they don't pay us. There's not enough money for us to have a delay button on any of this stuff. But that probably would have been helpful.
Yeah. So I know it's hard to get it invested. One time Rob got in trouble too. We won't go into a whole lot of detail, but we had to go to a school and apologize for something that was said on the air and give them some gift cards.
Poor choice of judgment.
Hey, we just got Rob to admit poor choice of judgment, folks. You don't get a good apology from Rob every now and then.
But all these things is what makes it good, because the people that are listening or watching to the GovNation are fans of William Blunt.
And, they love it. They love that these guys support
William Blunt. And, you know, you think of all the great broadcasters, like even like the Alabama guy, you know, that retired and all these
Eli.
Guys, they're homers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love homers.
Yeah, I mean, that's what that's for. And unfortunately, you can get really invested in a game and sometimes forget where you are, and you forget the number one rule of broadcasting is don't say anything that you wouldn't say to your grandmother.
Don't be negative about a student athlete. And you're going to hear about it really quick, and whether it's your player or someone else's player, because somebody's watching, and if it's not somebody that is directly involved with it, somebody indirectly is watching, and it'll eventually get back to whoever it was said. So I know that's always tough. So anything good thing, we're going to close out here in the next couple of minutes, but anything moving forward or anything y'all want to say before we shut down episode one here on Off the Cup and about GNN?
Well, I just want to say I'm thankful for all of our viewers, thankful for Richard, because he did take it to a different level once he came on and we got involved with him. And, of course, my colleagues, you know, we talked about Brad, and we talked about – we didn't talk about, but Lucas and Timothy helps us behind that. There's guys behind the scenes that help this go off, help Richard tremendously. I know you could probably speak to that, Richard.
Yeah. The last 2 years in basketball, it's been – actually in football too, it's been run by Lucas and Timothy, and that's a testament to them, but it's also kind of cool.
Yeah, they're just sophomores.
It's kind of grown to that, and you know that's kind of what we'd want to keep happening is getting some more students involved, not just for GNN, but like some of these guys are interested in doing some of this stuff in the future, and you know, providing that opportunity is something I think is kind of cool. One of these days, I'm hoping one of them, you know, gets a big job on ESPN, they can give me a kickback.
That's a kickback. Well, you know, you think about that is that when you start doing things like that, and what Link does with his AV program, you always kind of think people are, it's going to be easy to find help. And that's not true.
No,
it is not easy. Teenagers aren't like maybe Maybe I was different. I always wanted to do stuff like that, but heck, I would sit up in the ball games when I was an eighth grader, watch William Blunt and act like I was John Ward. You know, that's just what I did. But this day and time, it's not a popular thing for a lot of folks to get involved in those things. And so it's hard getting people.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because every basketball season, they always have that table down there where they're acting like they're broadcasters, right?
Right.
But there's a lot of – it's more than just setting a table in front of a thing and talking. And that's where the rubber meets the road, where you got to actually have to plan out things and be available and stuff like that. So it's a lot harder than just showing up, I guess. So takes a commitment.
Yep. And I want to thank Scott Cupp and William Blunt High School giving us, you know, the platform and place to do this, that we like doing it and helping the kids, and all the sponsors that have been able to stay with us. We've had sponsors that started 8 years ago or whatever. So just
The sponsors
keep it going.
Massive. Yeah.
And you got to make sure you have a predecessor, or is that what it's called? Somebody who follows you up? I mean, successor.
Yeah.
Your predecessor was us.
Yeah,
we were the predecessor. You need a successor, because, I mean, I will say this. I'm glad you're still around. Everybody was like, oh, I want Eli to graduate. Richard won't be back. I'm like, well, let's hope he is. So that's been huge, because the G&N would have ended if you went with Eli.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I mean, I got another son graduating this year who's not in sports. Filmed some of his theater stuff, did some of that, but I like being here. It's fun to be around sports. It keeps me engaged in the community, and I don't see it. I don't see him be going anywhere soon.
Well, that sounds
good.
Let's
get kicked out.
Well, you got another chance tonight, because the Maryville Rebels will be over here in just a little while, and the officials will be right in here asking me if GNN's ready to broadcast. And
we'll have our
replays
ready.
Yeah, please do. We want to thank Richard Turner, Rob Lodge, Tyler Gray, Stan Painter, and Link Hudson for producing this afternoon. Until our next broadcast from the Cup Suite, Off the Cup is done for number one. Have a good day, everybody.